Okay, let's finish up week two materials. We are on page 53, about to start the actual data analysis example and go through the statistical procedures in a systematic way. They're laid out on page 53 for comparing non-parallel regression lines or estimating treatment effects with a moderating variable. And the setup is, why is an outcome from a clinical trial or a treatment control comparison, RCT? G is the binary group membership variable, and X is the moderating variable. Perhaps the treatment effect, the effectiveness of being in treatment versus control, depends on the level of X. X might be age, IQ, CD4 count, i.e. amount you're sick, all sorts of things. And the strategy is contrasted with analysis covariance, which just assumes that the treatment effect is constant at all levels of X, therefore there's no moderating variable. We allow there to be two separate within group regression lines, group one and group zero. So the model on PDF page 53 from the standard handout has what is called an interaction term. In addition to G and X being included in the analysis covariance, we add in an XG term, product term, which then results in group one and group zero having separate slopes and intercepts for the Y on X within group regression. The difference between the regression lines as a function of X, if the difference of the regression slopes, which is parameter beta 4 here, if the difference of the regression slopes is non-zero, then the treatment effect, the vertical distance between the two within group regression lines, delta X in the population, is a function of X as long as beta 4 is not equal to 0. We're interested in that. Another quantity of interest is the abscissa of the point of intersection, especially if the lines intersect by a disordinal interaction within the range of the data. It's often called the cutoff score if you were doing remedial versus advanced instruction assignment. And that's just minus beta 2 over beta 4. It's a ratio estimator. You could bootstrap it or jackknife it. Rupert Miller wrote an original jackknife paper about that. It's also Filer's theorem if you're a Berkeley stat person. One of Chaffee's last papers was about Filer's theorem and ratio estimation. So those are two quantities we're interested in. The treatment effect is parameterized as a function of X. It may not be. That is, beta 4 could well be zero or negligible, but we're allowing it to be there. Why assume it's not? And then inference, two types of inference as implemented in current packages. Pick a point, which is pick a value of X. It could be what's in the middle of the data. It could be for some subgroup that's extreme. You want to know whether the treatment's effective. If there's differential effectiveness of the treatment, you kind of want to understand that. For what groups is the treatment most effective? And one version of that is pick a point X and ask, do the regression lines differ? And we show you the statistical procedure for doing that and some relations with analysis of covariance. Once you estimate the basic model, you get the beta hat I's. The difference between the regression lines D of X, which is your point estimate of the difference of the regressions, point estimate of the treatment effect as a function of X, is beta hat 2 plus beta hat 4X. We also have the covariance matrix, a 4x4 covariance matrix of the BIs, the diagonals being the sampling variances and the off-diagonals being sampling covariances. The ratio estimator is beta hat 2 over beta hat 4, as long as beta hat 4 is not 0. It's going to be defined, and that's also we can do inferences for that. So the inference for delta X using D of X as a point estimate is the pick-a-point procedure that I named in 1980, and that name is stuck for because it's... And one important pick-a-point is what we call the center of accuracy, and that goes back to Johnson and Naiman. All that is a weighted average of the two group means. in the RCT case, the group means are going to be very close, and so DFCA is basically going to be the grand mean. But an important result to understand what's going on here is the center of accuracy, which one way of defining it is minus S24 over S44 from the elements of the covariance matrix. It's also a weighted sum of by the sum of squares of the two group means. Evaluating, doing a pick-a-point estimation at the center of accuracy in the middle of the data, is the analysis covariance treatment effect, and we'll show that. The average treatment effect, D of X bar grand mean, is just about the same for an RCT, but you can show, so you can get the ANCOVA estimate, and Fisher was very clever. Even if you assume the lines are parallel, evaluated at the most accurate point. And DFCA is going to have the smallest sampling variance of all pick-a-point options. Of all DXs, DFCA has the smallest sampling variance, as we'll see. And for any pick-a-point, you just pick a value of X, such as the mean of a subgroup. And you can do an inference as to whether the treatment is significantly effective or not. The sample invariance of DX is easy to obtain, and that's what's done in the paper, and that's just S22 plus S24 CA plus S44 X minus CA, center of accuracy squared. So you can see that CA is the, an X chosen to be the center of accuracy gives you the smallest variance, because the S44 term disappears. As you move out from that center, you get a larger sampling variance. Easy enough. And so an inference for delta X and picking a single point is just dx over S of dx via t distribution and minus 4 degrees of freedom, usual confidence interval. Of course, if you do a couple of pick a points, then you should acknowledge you're doing multiple inferences and Bonferroni each one or some equivalent idea. And we'll get back to that with simultaneous inference in the bottom part, the bottommost part of this handout. So that's where we are. Pick a point is just identify an X, could be in the middle of the data, doesn't have to be, and you can do an inference for it. And that's one logical thing you could do. You can do a couple of them, and it's multiple inferences. It requires an adjustment. Okay, the other part of the inference is to ask a slightly different question. For what values of X, what values of the moderating variable, is there a significant treatment effect? And that's a Johnson-Neyman question, answered by the Johnson-Neyman region of significance. X values such that you reject that delta X equals zero. And this is from 1936, before they were using F distributions. If you read the original paper, everything's done in beta distributions, but give Jersey-Neyman credit for all sorts of contributions. Originally, it was done as non-simultaneous inferences, because you get a bigger region that is more significance just by concatenating all the confidence intervals from pick a point. A little statistical gnome goes along the x-axis, the moderating variable, tests each at each x, and decides whether it's significant or not. Or you could think of it as non-simultaneous confidence intervals. That's not a very good inference, because you're doing really a simultaneous inference and not accounting for it. So the working hoteling band, Harold Hoteling used to work at the Food Research Institute at Stanford, working hoteling bands, which you probably met in a linear models course, is a band for the entire line. So that's two hyperbolic confidence intervals about the line for which you're 95% sure, say, that the line stays within those bands. And that's the kind of confidence interval that's relevant or appropriate for the Johnson-Neyman region of significance. We'll call that R prime. It's a legacy notation. The hyperbolas, basically what you're doing is making them a little wider, because you're acknowledging you're making a simultaneous inference. So instead of critical value F1N-4, you have 2F2N-4. So you're just widening it out, making the region a little less. You're making it harder to be significant. And R prime is the values of the x-axis outside the working hotelling band. We'll see a picture of that. That is, for what values of x is there a significant treatment effect, i.e. for what values of x is delta x different from zero? And regions of significance can be two parts if beta 4 is big enough. But in this case, it's only going to be one part. We do get a we do get a region within the range of the data in our example, but it's only one part because beta hat 4 isn't quite large enough to meet the two region criteria, which is greater than 2F2. I wrote papers about the form of the region of significance. Don't need to get into that. So that's our basic thing, the pick a point and the values of x for which they differ, a simultaneous inference by Johnson-Naiman. And those are the things that have been picked up in the packages today. Okay, so this is back to the 1980 Syke Bolton paper. We looked at that, defining pick a point in Johnson-Naiman. We saw that. And here is where we're going. And so just it's a repeat of the prior page. Model delta x, key thing, d of x estimates delta x, PDF page 55, just a repeat. And then inferences based on d of x and simultaneous inferences based on the working hotelling band. Those are what we're going for. And we do have a data example coming up. There's another version of the handout with letters A through H. That just links these equations, which are just the ones you've seen, just a different handout. We looked at the better version, treatment effect as a function of x, and these link to the handout for the data analysis example. And so you may want to print out this page, PDF page 56, as you look at the data analysis example if you go through it on your own. We're going to go through it now. Okay, so PDF page 57 gets us to our actual data analysis example. We are going to get there. This is Cook data from 1978-1979. 10 observations in treatment, 10 observations in control. The columns are outcome, which is Y, moderating variable X, and G is the binary treatment control indicator. So the first 10 are in the treatment group, second 10 are in the control group. And these data, of course, are posted. You can see that if you look at the quick T applies, you could do this in different forms. There is a difference in outcome between treatment and control, almost 2 points, but no difference because it's designed to be imitate an RCT between the x's, the moderator variable in the two groups. The groups are randomly assigned, therefore level of the moderator variable won't covariate, won't differ. Okay, no apparent or significant pre-existing differences, but point by serial correlation tells you that, or looking at the medians tells you that, but we seem to have a treatment effect, and so we're going to take a look at it. First off, and this is labeled A, links with the ANCOVA model, we're just going to do a Y on G and X regression, that's analysis covariance. That might be first thing someone does, has a background variable X, or do a t-test on Y. We'll start out with the ANCOVA. And you see that the ANCOVA, where the assumed to be constant treatment effect, is not significant, just not significant. These data are cooked to illustrate something. And so you might be disappointed. Your dissertation doesn't get a star. Sad. Okay, just fails significance. And the pooled slope, the assumed to be average slope, constant slope, equal slope within the two groups is about 2.3, 2.29. If you look within groups, The two within group slopes are 1.3 and 3.3. That's why you get the pooled slope being in between. The groups are the same size, so the weighted value of beta hat p is going to be just about in the middle. If instead in label B you allow two separate regression lines, and this was often done with an Alice covariance, this was textbook advice, fit this extended model, and I'll talk about the I, that's just an include, I have a slide on that afterwards. This fits the product term, this allows two separate regression lines, but one use of the CNR reg regression is as a preliminary test for analysis covariance. The textbook rule was, and this is what I was arguing against in the 1980 paper, was people would do this preliminary test allowing for different slopes. If it didn't reject, then you go ahead and do analysis covariance. If it did reject, then you kind of panicked. You had an ordinal or disordinal interaction. So here in our cooked example, the preliminary test does not reject. Sample slopes differ. We might want to care about that, but we do not reject the hypothesis that these two groups have the same slope in the population, same within group slopes. So you would go ahead and do analysis covariance according to standard advice, and you would fail to find a significant result, and you would be sad. And I'm here to make you happy. Yeah. So we'll continue on with this, but we see the basics, and we'll look at a plot of this in a moment. PDF page 58 just tells you the I function. I used to get questions about that. It's just a safe way to multiply in a model. That's from Verzani's Introduction to R book. You can do it. It's safe. Okay. So if you wanted to do the original plot that's in the paper, here is a quick version of this on page PDF page 59. I use XY plot. I have no need for pastels, but I did use colors, black and red, for treatment and control. And here's an XY plot out of Lattice, so you need library Lattice. And there's a little note here, you can't use www-stat for our statistics department server anymore. You have to use StatWeb. And I fixed most old links, so we shouldn't run into that, because some of the materials are on the statistics computer before I moved over to Rugosa Teaching on GoDaddy, which is where we are mostly. Here is the pretty plot. Notice that the range of the data is basically 0 to 2.5. And that's going to be important because we really are interested in inferences within the range of the data. Regions of significance or other things outside the range of the data really aren't going to be things that we would want to make conclusions about, but within the range of the data, we have some information. So between 0 and 2.5 is the range of the data. And you can see that for most of the data, the treatment group, it has superior mean, but it is a disordinal interaction. Within the range of the data, we have an intersection point about halfway between 0.5 and 1.0. We'll see what that is. And so there is a region in the data for which at least in point estimates, the control group does better. This might be advanced instruction, conceptual instruction versus drill and practice. And X might be ability, and this is an ATI type setting where the two groups are different kinds of instruction. Okay, so that's PDF page 60. I think I have another picture, is another version of the picture, closer to the scale where I had it in the paper with treatment and control. Just shows it's steeper. I think the first picture is better by XY plot. And so now we're to the second page of the data analysis handout. And here we get going with the inferential sorts of things. So we ran the CNLR reg, which has had predictors GX and XG, the product term, the difference of the slopes. These are the beta hat I's. We're on PDF page 62, second page of the handout. And we get the coefficients, and you can see there is a difference in the slopes, and we get the variance-covariance matrix of these coefficients, sampling variances and covariances. So beta S44 is 0.90, that's useful. S22 is 2.37, and S24 is minus 1.34. Those are going to be things we need. The comparing regressions analysis, I didn't use functions, I just made it simple. We're doing this by hand. D of x is beta hat 2 plus beta hat 4x. That's labeled C. The center of accuracy turns out to be minus S24 over S44. And I get that as 1.47, which in an RCT is going to be at the mean, the grand mean of x, which is 1.47. But in another design would be quite different. These could be quite different, a bit different. This is a weighted average of the two group means. And if group means differ, sample sizes differed a lot. These could be a little bit different. Then the difference of the regressions at the center of accuracy is 1.42. That's exactly the coefficient you get from ANCOVA, because I said DFCA is the ANCOVA estimate. But if now you get variances of DX for inference, and this is just S22 plus S24 CA, that's the variance of DFCA. It's 0.39, and if you do a t-test on 16 degrees of freedom rather than the 17 you'd get from analysis covariance, you actually get a significant result. That is quasi-ANCOVA, using ANCOVA but not pooling the slopes, actually gets you a more accurate thing, and your dissertation would be good if you did this, even if you assumed a constant treatment effect, which is the wrong thing to assume here, but even under that, you get a significant result. Isn't that nice? Pooling hurts, so you can beat Fisher, although that's something you don't say in public because people get annoyed in these cooked data. But for general pick-a-point procedures, we're on G. We wrote out the variance, the sampling variance for pick-a-point procedure. And so for any X you want to choose here, you just compare D of X to the square root of var dx, T coefficient, 16 degrees of freedom, any critical level you like. And you can do one pick-a-point procedure. If you do multiple, you should bond Fouronian. So that's pick-a-point. Just compare D of X to its square root of its sampling variance, and it's a T n minus 4 degrees of freedom, and it's a total number of observations, so 20 minus 4, because you fit, unlike analysis covariance, which would use n minus 3 because of the pooling, and that 1 degree of freedom is very expensive, as we saw. It's the difference in having a star on your dissertation or not. So that's where we are on pick a point. And we'll check whether our packages do pick a point the way we do it. Then for starting in G, then for Johnson-Naiman, and we'll do this expanded. But here on the handout, we have it here. I used to do it in Mathematica because it's easy to estimate the, easy to solve the quadratic formula in Mathematica. 2F2, n minus 4 is going to be 2 times 3.6337. That's QF for the simultaneous region. We're going to find the Johnson-Naiman simultaneous region and then do it again. This is equivalent to a confidence interval for the abscissa of the point of intersection. That's Feiler's theorem. And this is going to be a single part region of significance because beta hat 4 is just not quite big enough. So what we do it, solving the quadratic equation in the paper, is do n solve in Mathematica or do it by polyroot in R. And we'll show you both. The result is you get a region of significance between 1.63 and 3.48, Remember, the data goes from about 0 to 2.5. So part of the region of significance, which if you look at the paper, is just the part of the x-axis that's not within the working hotel and confidence bands. And that's what the picture shows you, is about 1.6 to 2.5. That's where the data kind of ends. We do have a region for which the treatment is superior. There is no region of data for which the control is superior. Significantly, D of X goes negative, but not significantly negative. So if one to say treatment is significantly superior compared to control for people with the values of the moderator variable greater than 1.63. And the way you can do that is polyroot, and we'll see that in there. The basic picture from the paper is here, and we'll recreate that in the extended version. I got it all on two sides of a piece of paper. In in-class experience, I passed these out. That's why I try to cram it on a piece of paper. Let's take a look at the doing of that a little more, and we'll see what the packages do here. So PDF page 63 just shows you the quadratic equation you need to solve. You can use polyroot. You learned this in junior high school, I guess, these days. Minus b plus or minus square root of b squared minus ac over a. Okay, we do that. So let's PDF page 64. I redid it. You can do it more elegantly than this, but I wanted to show you. So we do the CNLR regression, PDF page 64. This is also part of the analysis linked handout. Fit the y on gx and the product term. We get the variance-covariance matrix. We get CA, which is in the middle of the data. We get D of CA, of course, is just 1.427. That's the analysis covariance point estimate. So for the simultaneous region of significance, which is where we're going here, do this in R. Solve quadratic equation, page 318 of the CNLR paper. So we get our critical value, which is 2F2, n minus 4, n is 20 here. Coefficients of CNLR, we get our vector, we get the variance-covariance matrix of CNLR. We have CF is 2F2, n minus 4. And then we use polyroot. We do the vector polynomial coefficients increasing order. So we get our collection of coefficients just from the quadratic form. Here's the constant, the x term, and the squared term. And we do that. So we have our coefficients of constant x and x squared. We get polyroot, get the endpoints in R, and got exactly what we got from Mathematica, 1.63 to 3.47. That's the simultaneous region, the range of the x's, which is good to keep in mind, 0.25 to 2.5. So we have a region of significance that's within the range of the data. And to do the plot, we can do the working hoteling bands about the line dx, and that's easy enough to get. And we do that bottom page 64, and of course the packages will do it with ggplot. I don't need to. And just forming the band, PDF page 65, you can work through that. You can do it more elegantly, and we get a very pretty picture. So this is the picture produced, and you can see we have D of X is the line, and then the working hoteling hyperbolic confidence bands about the line, where the region of the moderating variable, the horizontal axis, X in this case, that is outside of the confidence intervals is the region of significance. If the line were steeper, then the upper working hoteling band would also intersect the X-axis. Just tilt this a little bit and you can see, and then you'd have a two-part region of significance. You'd have going out one bound to the right, one bound, one intersection point to the left. Here we have a one part because beta hat 4 is big enough to give us a region of significance, but not big enough to get us a two-part region. But we learned something. The treatment for values of X above 1.6, the treatment is significant even with this small study. So that's the idea of using the moderating variable. That's a little more useful information than saying analysis covariance gave you a non-significant average treatment effect. But we have real information using the moderating variable. That is, the treatment effect clearly does, at least in point estimate, we're looking at D of X here, depend on X. We have it tilted pretty good. That's an important thing to know. That's the heterogeneous treatment effect. We can get the KATE by just picking a point we want to evaluate D of X on, or more usefully, get the values of X for which there is a significant treatment effect. And that's what Johnson-Neyman technique does, using the working hotelling bands in one dimension. The original Johnson-Neyman had a two-dimensional X, and so you're getting a region in the plane rather than a region just on the X-axis. You have an X1, X2 plane, and you can go up and you can see visualizations, but the idea is the same. This is a way to evaluate a treatment effect when you have a potential moderating variable or a demonstrated moderating variable. And calling it interactions is fine, but it's much more useful to actually explain what's going on. So this is going to bring week 2 to an end.